Welcome to my weekly show. I'm Dr. David Kent. I'm a local area psychiatrist here in Boise. Been practicing in this area for about 27 years. Appreciate you coming on my show. If you're tuning in for the first time, I talk a lot about different topics than mental illness and mental health. Talk a lot about depression and other treatments and things about depression, but I also like to veer a little bit off into other territory, which I'm going to do a little bit today. Also, we have several guests on my show today, and I'm going to indulge myself and play a song that I think applies to kind of what we're talking about. But the topic at hand right now, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we call neuroinflammation and its potential effects on the brain. So, you know, what is neuroinflammation? Well, basically, it's inflammation in the brain. And that's something that's really kind of a new topic, but it's really kind of a hot topic in brain research. We're now starting to understand that inflammation is a process going on in our body that's quite important. There's a lot of autoimmune disorders that may be a result of inflammation going on in the body. And the brain itself, we always think of as something that's kind of isolated and keeps to itself, but in reality, the brain is highly connected to the rest of the body. So it's susceptible to inflammation and toxins and other factors, and it's very susceptible. So even depression is thought to be possibly a result, or at least in part influenced by neuroinflammation. And the notion that depression is simply a chemical imbalance in the brain is given way to evidence that the disorder is also associated with neuroinflammation, like I talked about, what they call disruptive neuroplasticity, that there's other neurotransmitters involved besides norepinephrine and serotonin. There's glutamate involved and other chemicals in the brain. And there's what we call cortical and subcortical changes. What do I mean by that? Well, cortical refers to the cortex, which is the outer part of our brain. It's the sort of the executive part of the brain where we initiate actions and we think, we initiate movement and different things like that. And subcortical are the lower parts of the brain and the deeper parts of the brain that help carry things out, but also associated with emotion and anger and memory and different things. Also, we're starting to transition from pure pharmacology, like medications, to what we call neuromodulation, things such as TMS or transcranial magnetic stimulation. I've talked a lot about that on my show. That enhances different parts of the brain. It's even been shown to cause what we call hippocampal neurogenesis. The hippocampus is one of those deeper structures in our brain. It's an older structure, and it's capable of new growth, new cell growth, and new connections. So what is the basis of neuroinflammation and psychiatric illness? That's the next thing I kind of want to talk about. And I'm going to reference an article by an integrative psychiatrist named Dr. Mary Ackerley. And she's written quite a bit about this, and she is sort of a broad, sort of homeopathic, but still a traditionally trained psychiatrist. She has her MD degree from the University of Maryland. She's done a residency at Johns Hopkins, which is a very esteemed school. She also went to the American College of Homeopathy, and she did an undergraduate degree at Harvard University. So she's very well studied. She's done a lot of her homework. She currently practices in Tucson, Arizona. And she's written extensively about this subject. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of her ideas related to neuroinflammation. So one of the things that she talks about is neuroinflammation is mediated by a variety of mechanisms, including what they call cytokines. And cytokines occur when there's inflammation. And they're widely documented in the psychiatric literature. But a lot of clinicians don't know about it, or they don't talk about it, and they're not really aware of it. 25% of the general population is susceptible to what we call biotoxin-associated illness. And it's sort of maybe a coincidence, maybe not, but 25% of the general population also have psychiatric disorders. So there may be some relationship there. At least it's interesting to think about. But there is extensive, a robust line of research that talks about neurotransmitters theories is in itself kind of insufficient to explain most psychiatric illness, that there must be something else going on as well. There's a study in Denmark which is considered a pretty homogenous population. They looked at records of 3 million people. And they found that if you had a diagnosis of either an autoimmune disease, which would include things like Hashimoto's thyroiditis or rheumatoid arthritis or a condition called Sjogren's, It increased the risk of being diagnosed with a mood disorder like depression by 45%. And if you'd been hospitalized for some sort of infectious illness, that your risk for a mood disorder was 62%. So there seems to be an association between autoimmune disorders and infection and depression, and that's interesting. There are infections and toxins that are associated with depression and anxiety, and a lot of these include molds. There's also neurological problems with Lyme disease. It's well known for creating psychiatric complications. And streptococcal infections, not properly treated, are thought to be, lead into obsessive-compulsive disorder. Another source of psychiatric illnesses are encephalopathies like Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which can cause a mania, which is a bipolar-type phenomenon. Toxoplasmosis, which is associated with cats. There's a large amount of literature that suggests that it increases the suicide rate and also increases the propensity for schizophrenia. And autoimmune diseases such as Hashimoto's thyroiditis can lead to encephalopathy. So the point of this is that there are probably etiologies and causes of psychiatric illness that we're still really on the threshold of knowing more about. And this relates to neuroinflammation and toxins. Now, there's a study out of Europe which looked at 6,000 European adults that associated mold illness and depression. And they found that researchers, when they found high levels of mold in a house, that there was a high level of depression, higher than what would normally be expected. So environmental toxins are critical and may play an important role. And there's a condition out there called SIRS. And SIRS stands for Chronic Inflammatory Response Syndrome. And that's something that's relatively new and described. 24% of the population has a SIRS gene, so they're at risk for mold, and particularly water-damaged buildings. Water-damaged buildings leads to various types of mold, some of which are quite toxic. But it's not well understood yet. It's understood to some degree, and we understand the genetics, and we understand a lot about it. But these mold, there's other biotoxins as well, such as heavy metals, food allergens, and viruses, which can also lead to problems in these patients. Now, with SIRS, my understanding is if you have that gene, you cannot get rid of biotoxins like molds as well as the general population. So if you have SIRS and someone doesn't, you could be actually exposed to the same exact toxins, the same mold, and not come down with any symptoms. People with SIRS, however, because they can't get their body to rid these biotoxins out, they build up over time, and eventually, over time, sometimes decades, symptoms appear. And the diagnosis is based on a constellation of many symptoms and many body systems, but also various blood tests as well as the genetic testing. So this is pretty important. There's another study that concluded that low-grade inflammation of the brain is a risk factor for suicide. Dr. Ackerley talks about neuroinflammation causing what we call a leaky brain. What does that mean, a leaky brain? Well, if you're familiar with gut health, in our gut, we have a thing called leaky gut. And a leaky gut is where toxin can come from our gut into our bloodstream. And a leaky gut can occur when certain toxins are present or when our gut health is bad. When our gut health is bad, we have more bad bacteria than we have good, and there's an imbalance. And that can lead to a permeability of our gut, leading to toxins getting into our bloodstream, which then can lead to body-wide inflammation, even neuroinflammation. But the brain itself has what we call the blood-brain barrier, and that membrane can also become permeable or more leaky and let in toxins into the brain, which causes neuroinflammation. So if you're just tuning in, this is Dr. David Kent. I'm going to come back in just a minute and talk
Welcome back to my show.
This is Dr. David Kent. Appreciate you tuning in. I'm talking today about a variety of topics, but I'm also talking about the brain-gut connection. You know, our brain is just not something that's isolated or keeps to itself. It really communicates with the body. In particular, our brain seems to connect very much and directly with our gut. In fact, our gut bacteria and our gut microbiome, they call it, is considered the second brain. And why is it considered the second brain? Well, it comes as a fact, we have 10 times more organisms that live in our gut than we have cells in our body. And that's hard to imagine, that we have that many cells that live in our body, and they don't just live in isolation. They actually communicate with our body. They influence our health. So our gut bacteria are terribly important. And it's not a one-way communication. It's a two-way communication. Our brain actually communicates with our gut health, and our gut health communicates with our brain. In fact, when I talk about TMS a lot, TMS stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. There was a study out of Italy that showed that patients who improved with TMS treatment for depression, the patients that responded, they actually monitored the gut health of those patients, and the gut health got better as well. So improving our brain health improves our gut health. Improving our gut health improves our brain health. So they're not different entities, but they're very connected. So I'll probably talk more about this in the future. I'm kind of running out of time today, but there's a lot of things you can do to improve your gut health. There's what there is called a ketogenic diet. And in the past, that was an Atkins diet, but they've come up with other diets that are very similar. That's basically a low-carbohydrate diet, rich in quality fats as well as protein. There's also fish oil. Periodic fasting also seems to help our gut health. It actually stimulates new stem cell growth, which is important for new cell growth. Avoidance of gluten seems to help with reducing the leaky gut. There's lots of things you can do to improve your gut health. So that's all quite important. Well, I'm kind of out of time today for this segment. I'm going to lead in a little bit. I'm going to play a song for you. It's called Stuck in My Own Hell. It's by the group Silence and Sound, which you can find on Spotify, probably on iTunes, also on Reverb Nation. So it's out there. It's a song related to people who are stuck in their own hell with depression and other things. So it's very pertinent to a lot of what I talk about. Thank you for listening to my show. I'm going to lead into this song a little bit and then come back and we'll tune back in again. I've got several guests coming on my show. Thank you. How do they know? How do they know? They don't. Dr. David Kent, welcome back to my show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm a local area psychiatrist here in Boise. I've been doing this show for some time now. I talk a lot about different topics in mental illness and mental health. I talk particularly about depression and depression treatment. I talk a lot about TMS, which stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. I've had a lot of talks about that. I bring a lot of patients and guests on my show, which I have today, of course. Appreciate you tuning in for the first time. And if you tune in every week, I really appreciate you staying tuned with my show. If you have any questions or any information you want, just go to treasurevalleytms.com. If you want to see if you're a candidate for Deep TMS, take my self-test, which is on my website. I've got a lot of videos on there. I've got a lot of blogs and articles I've written. And I also post a lot of these radio shows on my website. So you can always tune in later or a different time. You can share the shows with people. I also have a Facebook page at Treasure Valley TMS. Just look that up for Facebook. I have a lot of followers now. Get a lot of information out there through my Facebook page. Well, today I've got a special guest on my show. Her name is Amanda, and she actually works for me. She's one of my TMS staff. She helps administer TMS. She's been working with me for a little while now. I've been doing TMS for about a year and a half now. I work with a different company and a different device for about 15 months. And I switched over to BrainsWay Deep TMS this year. And I'm very happy with the results I'm getting with this new device. I call it a second-generation device. This device is the only device that Amanda's ever worked with. And so she kind of came in from scratch and started working with me and learning how to use the device and how to apply treatments every week. She's become kind of an expert on that, and she does a very good job. Patients love her. She's got a great personality and does a really good job with the patients and really cares about the patients. So welcome to my show, Amanda.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on today and kind of talking. I kind of want to have you talk about your perspective, kind of from coming in with somebody who knew nothing about TMS to how it's kind of gone for you, kind of working in the industry and working in this business, and kind of what your perspective has been.
Well, it was a completely different experience working at a few different doctor's office previous. I didn't know what I was coming into, and it's just been, I think, life-changing working there and seeing the results. It just, there's nothing like it. Just seeing people come in and from them not really talking and being so down, and all of a sudden you get to see them blossom into who they really were meant to be. It's just amazing. I've loved it.
So as an observer of the patients coming through, you've seen people transform.
Yeah, a lot. And it's just, and knowing that you've been there that entire time with them and seeing that, it's just amazing. I don't even know how to explain the feeling.
And you realize that a lot of these patients are pretty hopeless coming into the treatment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seeing some of them that come in and they're just on that verge, or they just came off of the edge, basically. And then now they've got this completely new life and they're out doing stuff and just feel amazing. The energy that they give off, it just, once somebody, you can tell somebody is actually starting to respond, if they go from not talking and not smiling to there's this light in their eyes, even just a glimmer of light, and you see it, it's the most rewarding job ever.
So this is more than just a job to you.
Yes, it is.
You're getting something else out of it.
Yes. Well, I mean, I love helping people, so that's always been my thing. I love helping those that feel they have nowhere else to turn, but then also personally.
And your degree is in what?
Medical assisting. It covered all kinds of spectrums as far as medical assisting. And then I also almost have an associate's in sociology as well. So I'm like a semester away from that.
Oh, good. Are you going to finish that, do you think?
Probably eventually once my kids are all in school and that's all taken care of and I have a little more time on my hands.
So it becomes a little easier for you.
Yeah.
So you've been working just this year for me. When did you start again?
I started in February.
In February. So that's when I was kind of just ramping up and just getting going and really didn't have much in the way of patients yet.
Yeah, we started off with four.
So we have a lot more now.
A lot more.
Yeah.
And it's great.
It's kind of just grown by nature.
Yes.
The word is out there and people are coming in from different sources and referrals. And I think both of us realize where this is headed.
Oh, yeah. And it's exciting. I am so excited to tell people about my job. And hey, if you need help, get a hold of us. Don't be shy.
So what's your story when it relates to TMS? I know you've watched all these patients getting better, and you've tell me about that.
So I struggled for off and on for about 17 years with depression myself, mostly postpartum, and seeing the results and how many patients responded so positively, I kind of got selfish and wanted that for myself. Okay. I thought, gosh, I just would love to feel that way, especially when I started feeling myself start slipping again and either needing to try a new medication or something along that lines. I've been in counseling for years, and I just knew that I needed something else.
So we're kind of shifting gears here a little bit now. It's kind of the focus is on you.
Yeah.
So how many treatments have you received so far?
I am on number 32. So I am almost done, and my depression is pretty much non-existent. I think with most people, the thing that bothers them the most is sleep, and that's just always been a thing for me. But other than that, I'm feeling wonderful.
So your depression is pretty much gone now.
Yeah, I don't have those feelings of hopelessness anymore. I don't feel those feelings of... I just don't want to be around sort of feelings, and it is amazing. My kids even notice.
So now that you're treating other people with depression who are getting TMS, you have some empathy for what they're going through.
Definitely, definitely. And when I tell them that I'm also going through it, it really lets them relax a little more, and they know that if she can do it, I can do it, sort of thing. And I think that really helps. A lot of patients respond to me a lot better because they know that I know how they feel sitting in the chair.
Yeah, you've been through it yourself. You've decided you're not afraid of this. You wanted it for yourself. And we said, yes, go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Once I talked to you and you said, go ahead. Let's try this out and see if it works for you. I haven't regretted that one day since.
That's great. Well, I've definitely seen an improvement in your mood, and I know that there's days when you didn't look so hot.
Yeah.
You know, especially when the job can be, I don't know, stressful, but, you know, there's pressures to keep up and do things. And,
oh, yeah.
And it didn't, you know, didn't always go so well. But you're looking awesome now.
Thank you.
I know the patients really love you.
Thanks. I love the patients. I actually was just telling one of the other techs today, I think we have some of the best patients that come through because they are at that point where they need something, and then they're just so thankful. And it's not even anything we're doing. It's the machine. We're just there holding their hands, basically.
Yeah, but that makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
People feel comfortable coming in, and that's part of getting through the treatment, is to make sure that they're taken care of, that they're not just another person in a chair, but that we all care about them.
Right, right.
And that's the message I've tried to emphasize with all the staff. And I constantly hear from all my patients and all of our patients that we've got the best staff. And I think that's true.
I think so, too. As long as everybody's heart's there, it'll never be a bad place to come to. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my hiring practice, is that heart's got to be there first. You got to care about people, because I can't really hire people to care. I can't train people to care.
Right.
They have to naturally be that way.
Right.
And so I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. This is Amanda. She works for me at Treasure Valley TMS. She's been working since February of this year. She is a medical assistant, and she helps with the procedure, with getting the treatments accomplished. She herself has now been through the treatment, so she understands it. She understands what it means to go through it, and she can, with confidence, promote that this is a good thing.
Definitely a good thing.
Good. Well. So thank you for tuning in. On my next segment, I have another guest coming on, Summer. So stay tuned. She has quite the story.
Welcome back to my show. This is
Dr. David Kent. If you're tuning in for the first time, this is my weekly show. I'm a local area psychiatrist here in Boise. I have a weekly show on every Sunday morning. Thank you for tuning in. If you're coming in every week, I appreciate that. As you might know from my previous shows, I bring guests onto my show to talk about their experiences. These are all people that live here locally, people that are going through something that they want to share. So I always appreciate them coming onto my show. For this last segment, I've got Summer on my show. Welcome, Summer.
Hi, thank you.
Welcome to the show. I need to ask you a little bit about yourself, just so the audience knows kind of who you are. How old are you, Summer?
I am 40 years old.
Okay, are you married?
I am not. I am divorced.
You're divorced and you have children.
I do. I have two children.
And you mentioned they're in the teenage phase.
I have a daughter who's 15 and then I have a son who's 10.
Okay, so one heading in there.
Yeah, he's getting there.
He's getting there. Well, the reason I asked you on my show is to kind of talk a little bit about what you've been through. And I know you because I've been treating you recently. And you've been struggling with depression. Is that correct?
For a long time, yes.
How long had you been struggling with depression?
I began seeing signs of depression 3 days after giving birth to my daughter, so 15 and a half years ago.
15 and a half years, so that's a long time. Let's talk just a little bit about what your depression has been like for you. What have you gone through? What have you experienced with depression? What does it feel like to you?
I don't feel like myself at all. Basically being depressed. When I was, I guess prior to being depressed, I was an extremely hyperactive person. I am diagnosed as being ADHD, and I'm very happy-go-lucky, extremely just upbeat, very just always just happy and vibrant person, and I don't feel that way at all. I just feel down and just dark, and I'm not optimistic, and I'm just a different person. I just feel like a heavy dark cloud over me all the time, and it just feels different. And I don't feel motivated. I feel like an entirely different human being, and it shows. I mean, my dad told me probably a month after I gave birth, he's like, you became an entirely different human. It just was.
So others noticed the change as well.
Yeah, it was not just a little bit. It was a massive change.
A real dramatic change for you. So I'm assuming with the depression, you've had problems with your energy level, loss of energy.
Yeah, not motivated.
Not motivated to do things. Mm-hmm. Did it ever affect your sleep in any negative way?
It did. I have been up until I started TMS. I've been on sleeping medication the whole time.
Whole time, those 15 and a half years, trying to get this controlled and under control. Mm-hmm. How has it negatively impacted your life?
Well, it affected my marriage. I was with my high school sweetheart, and we were married, and he just couldn't handle it anymore. After about 7 years of the depression, he couldn't handle it anymore. He just wasn't married to the same person. It affected my marriage to the point of divorce. It affected my friendships. It affected my relationships with my family. I pushed everybody away. It affected my kids. They see me as just a different person, not the person I want them to see, not the parent I wanted to be. And I know I'm not the parent I wanted to be. It just affected everything about my entire life. I didn't do what I wanted to do because I was too busy laying on the couch, feeling sorry for myself sometimes. And I'm highly functional as far as a depressed person goes. I got up every day and went to work. I cleaned my house every day. I did everything I was supposed to do. I never stopped, and I still...
Did you feel like you had to force yourself to do things?
I did. I forced myself to do everything, to maintain myself, to still be a normal person. But I still, at the end of the day, I was in my room crying. And, you know, my daughter is mad about seeing that. And
well, your daughter's only known depression for you.
She has.
Because that's what you've been like since she was born. So she doesn't really know
your
non-depressed self.
She doesn't understand seeing a stable parent versus an unstable parent. So she sees, why is mom so unstable and dad stable? And
right.
So
it hasn't been a real positive thing in your life, it doesn't
no.
sound like. And
no.
it's negatively impacted to the point where you've lost key people in your life that meant something to you.
Absolutely.
So depression is one of those things. It's a very devastating illness. I try to really emphasize this on my show, how critical it is to get depression treated correctly and promptly and aggressively if needed because of this type of thing. People like yourself can go on for many, many years, you know, giving up and feeling hopeless and feeling like there's just no way out.
And for me, I was doing everything that I could being treated. You know, I took every pill that I was told to take. I did everything that I was supposed to do, and it just didn't do anything. It wasn't fixing anything. And doctors just said, you have treatment-resistant depression. And so I thought I was just out of luck. And
it sounds like you did have treatment-resistant depression. Mm-hmm. So how many medications do you think you may have tried?
Countless.
You can't really even count how many meds you've tried.
Mm-mm.
For you guys tuning in for the first time, I've explained this in previous shows, that medications, the first medication has about a 55% chance of working to some degree. After that, each medication drops about 50% in its effectiveness. So the next medicine drops to about 25 or 30% chance and then goes from there. So after you've tried 6 or 7 or 8 medications, the chances of medications are working are almost next to nothing. So it becomes a feeling of hopelessness, that there's nothing that'll work. So that scenario is pretty common, actually. About 33% of people who suffer from depression will have a refractory depression, that nothing seems to work in terms of medications and psychotherapy. And you've also been through some psychotherapy as well, is that right?
Yes.
How long have you think you've been in psychotherapy?
On and off for probably 11 years.
So you've invested a lot of time and a lot of money in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Both of the psychotherapy and the medications and the visits and med checks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had to go into a hospital for this?
I've never been hospitalized.
And never tried to take your own life?
Because I'm in the mental health field, I know my signals and I know my signs, and I've been very fortunate enough to have a good support system and a good team, to where if I have issues or things like that, I can call on people around me. And so I've never gotten to a point to where I've ever done anything like that.
So you have some tools in place to help mentally try to block you from doing that, or leaning on the key people to help you get through that, which is good. Another problem with chronic depression, especially people who aren't getting help or not getting the relief they need, they become hopeless. They really don't see any solutions to this. And so they sometimes the only solution that they can see in their mind is that life just has to end. So it's a really common thing. In fact, in Idaho, the suicide rate's 1 person per day. So I think it's at epidemic levels. And the reason I have this show is to try to get awareness out there that there are things that we can treat this with. So let's come back around here. How did you find out about me?
I found out about you. I was driving down the road and I saw your billboard.
So you saw my big mug on the street out there.
Yeah.
And you decided to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to my website, did some research on that.
I talked to my care provider about the TMS and about the medications I was on and we both looked at the website and talked about contacting you.
And so you did. Mm-hmm. Came in and saw me, and then what happened?
Well, for me, it was a big deal based upon the fact that my insurance doesn't cover the program. So for me, it was a big deal based on finances. And so I had to make the decision based on whether or not it was something that I could financially cover it.
All right.
And then based on that, we met and made a plan, and we talked about whether or not that was something that you felt that was going to be successful for me, and whether or not I could be successful in with the plan and financially still be successful in meeting your needs. And then,
so we worked it out.
Yeah,
we worked that part out. I didn't want you to worry about the money part.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted you to get the help you needed, because I could see that you're somebody that needs this treatment.
Mm-hmm.
In 15 and a half years, lost your high school sweetheart. You know, life is not going so well.
Not so well.
Yeah, it's not. Doesn't feel good to me to turn people like you down. Just doesn't feel right. So I had to cross my fingers it was going to work. I never guarantee it's going to work, but the results I've been getting have been pretty amazing. You're not alone. Every week I bring somebody else on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You're tuning in for the first time. This is Dr. David Kent. I'm a psychiatrist in the area. I'm interviewing Summer. She's someone who suffered from depression for the past 15 and a half years. Couldn't find any medications to work for her after many, many tries, years of psychotherapy. And she found myself, who provide another type of treatment for depression called TMS or deep TMS. And that's a form of treatment that's kind of new to the Treasure Valley. It's actually very new. And I've been spearheading the effort to get the word out there that this is a different way to treat depression and an effective way to treat depression. And this is a good example, somebody who's tried everything, basically, and really kind of gave up hope. And now, what's your experience with the deep TMS?
It's been fantastic. I think I have 4 treatments left, and everything about it has been not what I expected, I suppose. Everything from your staff has been welcoming and kind, and I go in, you know, if you make a commitment to do it, it's time consuming in the beginning to have to go in on a daily basis, but you go in and you do it. And if it means that much to you to do it and get better, then you just do, and it's not, I had very little discomfort or issues with the system. I think only one time did I have really a discomfort. And then I just went about my day-to-day business every day, and I didn't have any side effects or any.
And are you feeling better?
I am. I'm feeling much better. My day-to-day life has changed so much, I can't even put words into it. Like, one day I was in the middle of Walmart of all places, and I felt like my old self, and it hadn't been that way in such a long time, and I had to call my mom and tell my mom.
So you're pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. What about your daughter? Has she noticed something different?
She's still pretty keeping her distance and pretty hesitant about all of it. So
maybe skeptical that this is for real.
She's seen a lot of treatments come and go and things happen and medications, and so she'll believe it when she sees.
She doesn't want to get her hopes up just to be dashed. But you have to prove her, you know, prove it.
And she doesn't know what the old me was, so she doesn't know.
I guess we're finding out what your old me was.
So I just want to get to a new normal.
Good. Well, I'm really excited to have you on the show and to share your experience with other people. The reason I do the show is to kind of reach into the community and share these experiences so other people like yourself might take the courage to come and get, you know, on my website, which is treasurevalleytms.com. There's actually a self-test on there you can take. takes a minute or two to take the self-test, and you can see if this is something for you. If it is, it might be a miracle for you. It might be the treatment that you need. One of the mottos of my company is Hope Lives Here. That's my big motto, is we provide hope to people that didn't have hope before. So it's kind of what this is all about for me. So I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your experience and being real with everybody. Really
Thanks
appreciate that.
Thanks for having that. Me.
You're welcome. So we'll keep going with the treatment and try to get you in good shape, okay?
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to sign out for this week. Tune in next week, and I'll bring on some more guests and bring on some more information about depression and TMS and other things and other subjects related to mental health. Thank you very much.